So, we just watched the episode Double Dipper, and... Oh, fuck. Okay, don't freak out, but there's two of you?
Wait, what?
AJ, there's two of you. There's two of you. Oh, fuck. Oh, which one do I shoot? Which one do I shoot?
How about you not shoot anybody?
I gotta shoot...
No, shoot me! Shoot me!
What?
Yeah, shoot me. I'm the mistake.
You're the... So what's the other AJ? If you're not AJ, who are you?
Well, obviously, I'm Marco. I'm his long-lost twin from all the way in Acapulco. Then how have I not known about you until now? Really? You don't follow me on Twitter? No. I think I would have known to follow my own clone on Twitter. I'm not your clone. I'm your long-lost twin. Get it right. Jeez, you're getting stuffy about this, aren't you?
Do I still shoot you?
You know what? Forget it. I like arguing with this dweeb. Shoot him. No, shoot him. No, shoot him. I want to see
him. Okay, I'm just gonna close my eyes and aim.
No, stop. No, what are you doing?
How do I use this?
Ugh. Quick, get away. Get away. bye.
Oh, I did it. No, I didn't think I could.
Oh, what a world. What a world. Oh, the bubbles tingle. Oh, and they taste like cherry cola!
Oh, there's little salt particles all over my computer. That was a mistake.
Hey, sorry. It took a little long in there in the bathroom. We ready to go? Ready to do this?
Yeah. There's a salt all over my computer, but I don't think it's gonna really hinder things.
Really? What happened?
You know. Welcome to Into the Falls, a Gravity Falls podcast. I'm Mary, and I know lots of things.
I'm AJ, and I know nothing.
This is a podcast where I guide AJ through the wonderful weirdness of Gravity Falls, my favorite show that he has never seen.
If you're a new arrival like me, or looking to relive some crazy summer memories, come with us, and let's dive into the falls.
AJ.
Yay.
Assuming that is your real name.
Of course it is.
What did you think of this episode?
I thought it was really cute.
Can you elaborate?
Well, sure. Well, you know, it's kind of interesting to me how we somehow started out the season with these big fantasy and horror type monsters. We had wax figurines. We've had a multi-bear.
Figurines are tiny. We had wax figures.
Wax statues. I'm sorry. May I continue?
Yes.
So we've had wax figures. We've had a multi-bear. We've had an evil army of gnomes. Somehow, clones made from a possessed fax machine seem a little more grounded. And, you know, I'm kind of into it.
I can't really explain why, but I get what you mean. That does feel like maybe because they don't really leave the shack in this episode.
Yeah, it's like a closed circle.
Yeah, so it's not like we're going out and discovering this weird fantastical thing. It's just, hey, this weird thing is happening in our house.
Yeah. And also, why has... You know what? I shouldn't ask that question. It's obvious why Stan hasn't thrown that copy machine to the curb years ago. Because he's a cheapskate!
Yeah, if it works, it works.
Yeah.
Who cares if it clones people? Can it also copy papers?
If it can be fixed with WD-40 and duct tape, then what's the point of throwing it out?
My first note is, blah!
Yeah, that was pretty cute. Oh, what did you feed us? Yeah!
Guys, something horrible just happened.
And then just Stan not having any of it. What a party pooper.
All right. Party supplies are now off limits.
Yeah. And he says Dipper's not a party person.
Yeah, really.
You're not getting in on the fun.
And he's the one throwing the party.
It's all about money.
Yeah, some people in this world have money for hearts.
He's an old miser. That's why his safe is Miser and Son brand.
Oh, it is? I did not know that.
Yeah, there's a safe in his office. I don't think I ever noticed this before, but it says Miser and Son. over the combination lock.
Must be a subsidiary of McDuck Enterprises.
Probably. It's always fun when Wendy gets her funny little moment at the beginning of this episode. It's always fun when she gets to kind of just be her own character, exist on her own without it being about Dipper's crush on her, which the rest of this episode really is, but
yeah,
that scene
and
was...
It's also kind of adorable to see her playing along with the youngins.
Yeah, I think, like, they've already formed, like, such a camaraderie. It's just so nice to see.
Do we want to call it a family?
We can call it a family. Seuss is a part of it too, but it's not the same dynamic with him because he tends to, I don't want to say takes things more seriously, but like maybe takes things more literally. Like he won't necessarily understand why they're doing something, but he'll appreciate kind of getting to have fun with them.
Yeah, I definitely feel that way. No family's complete without a Grunkle, their two twins, and a Seuss.
I mean, they can't be, like, related, given Dipper's feelings for Wendy, but, you know, family comes in all shapes and sizes. A family can be 10 dads, that's it, just 10 dads with no kids.
Just living out in a cabin somewhere.
Have you not seen that sketch?
No.
So that's a sketch by the Birthday Boys. You can find it on YouTube. It's called The Contemporary Family. And it's just a guy saying all these weird things that could be considered a family in modern day. And I used to quote it, like, nonstop in college, and I pissed off all my friends because I wouldn't stop referencing it.
I'll definitely need to check it out.
A train leaves Chicago headed east at 40 miles per hour. Don't make me say it.
Yeah, can we talk about Seuss's hidden DJ talents?
I don't know if they're hidden.
Well,
I think he just hasn't. I mean, they're hidden in the sense that he hasn't really gotten a chance to show them off.
Yeah.
But I think he's been preparing for this day for a long time.
Yeah. But hey, I mean, he gets the hang of it once he gets over that that initial bout of stage fright. And of course, once he finds the right samples with the right pads.
Yep.
Should have taken some pointers from DJ Daft Duck.
I like his keyword. DJ Daft Duck didn't exist yet, AJ. You're crossing the timelines.
I'm crossing the streams. And you know what? I'm the only one brave enough to do so.
No, the Ghostbusters did it first. I've written, what is that bell for? Because in the attic, there's just a bell on the ceiling. I don't know if they ever ring it. I don't know why it's there.
You ring it when you want to get out. Wait, don't Dipper and Mabel sleep in the attic?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know why it's there.
Seuss rings it when it's breakfast time.
He goes into their room to ring the bell? Then why is it a bell? Because, like, a dinner bell on, like, an old-timey house, like, you ring that to get people's attention who are far away to let them know it's time to eat.
Well, maybe the bell is, like, maybe it's, like, that crappy metal that really cheap cymbals are made out of, and it's really quiet and really wimpy.
Oh my god, speaking of metal, when Seuss brings out the party crown, it like makes a noise that sounds like metal clanking. So that's not like a cheap plastic crown that they like got at Party City. That is made of some type of metal.
I would say it's made of steel and painted gold. Because again, Stan Cheapo couldn't stretch the budget or didn't want to stretch the budget for an actual gold crown with real jewels on it.
It looks like pretty good quality. I feel like either somebody shelled out more money for it and maybe Stan stole it, or they just had that lying around. But if they, no, because if they had it lying around, Stan would have sold it by now. I don't know.
So he definitely stole it.
Yeah.
Stan is wanted for petty theft.
Oh, for sure. I like that the flyers say free, question mark?
Yeah.
Why was there like a drawing of a deer on the party flyers? What's that all about?
I don't know. I mean, my first thought, which is always wrong, is that it's a callback to the last episode when the Manitar freaking scratches his back with a pair of deer antlers and then just throws the deer aside.
Oh, I was thinking when Dipper was drinking from a stream and he looks up and there's a deer there and they just kind of nod at each other. Speaking of the last episode, this is, I think, the second episode in a row that didn't have the journal in it.
Oh, yeah.
Because it wasn't in the last one.
It wasn't in the last one. Was it in the last one before last? I don't remember if it was.
It was very briefly when he asks Mabel if she believes in ghosts. He's like looking at a page in the journal about ghosts, but I'm not sure you see it in the rest of the episode. And then the last two, it wasn't in it at all.
Okay.
So it's not, he wasn't like seeking out something supernatural. Supernatural things just kind of happened to him. I mean, this one, he makes a more active choice to use the supernatural thing, but the last one, he just kind of encountered it.
Yeah. I mean, after he accidentally copies his arm and it comes alive like some weirdo horror movie, I was like, he's definitely not going to do that again. And then when he kept on copying himself, all I kept saying was, Dipper, no!
Dip, dip, no, this is well past double dip.
No, dip!
And ended up with like 10, right?
Yeah, there were 10. There were 10 Dipper clones and one deformed monstrosity.
So it's Dectuple Dipper.
Dip, deck per tuple. Dip, tup, deck.
Don't hurt yourself, AJ.
Okay.
I wrote human beings in all caps with an exclamation point because something stood out to me about the way Jason Ritter delivered that line. Just, I think this copier can copy human beings!
I think this copier can copy human beings!
You gotta let Dipper go for the Gipper. You gotta let him, you gotta give him time to adjust to this new voice that he's, that is coming upon him.
That's my personal mantra. You gotta let Dipper go for the Gipper. That's, I say that all the time. I don't know how you knew. I've never said it on the podcast, but I say it in life just constantly.
Well, it should be a Twitter banner.
We can make it our Twitter banner. Or we can ask the podcast god if they'll make it the Twitter banner.
Let's ask the podcast god to put a poll on the Twitter. Should our channel banner be Let Dipper Go for the Gipper?
Well, the answer is obviously yes. There's no option number two, so.
Yeah, we'll make it happen.
I've written, in the office, there's a picture of Seuss that says Employee of the Month. I think he's always Employee of the Month because he's the only one who works there who cares about his job.
Yeah, because Wendy's just a part-timer, right?
Yeah, Wendy's just there because she has to be. She doesn't like her job. She doesn't like working there. And the kids don't have a choice. So Seuss, just by nature of who he is and how much he likes working there, always seems to prove himself Employee of the Month.
He deserves a good reference for his next interview.
Yeah.
But I feel like Stan wouldn't give him that.
Yeah, because Stan doesn't want to lose his only good employee.
He doesn't want him to be farmed out to some, like, high-tech corporation where Seuss could actually potentially make a living wage.
Yeah, I mean, Seuss seems pretty happy the way things are. So we can just leave well enough alone.
Just content with dusting the shelves of the Mystery Shack and scratching on his DJ decks.
I love in Dipper's, like, fantasy sequences when it's just, like, him and Wendy dancing and Seuss is in the background blowing the trumpet and he looks very serious and he's all dressed up except he's still wearing the baseball cap.
And Dipper's like, I hate to make another reference to DuckTales, but in that that dream episode
where Huey
wishes he's tall, but it's just his body with abnormally long legs.
I don't know why I didn't make that connection. I mean, his legs aren't that long. Dipper's aren't. He just kind of had a growth spurt in his dream world.
This definitely feels like a very 12-year-old kind of fantasy.
Just, I wish I was tall. Me too, Dipper, me too.
I'm not good at imagination stuff, okay?
That was like one of the funniest things that happened on DuckTales.
The pickle jar.
Anyway, so Dipper with the bow tie is one of the cutest things I've seen in the show so far.
That's a look.
Just doing his little dance, being a fancy little lad with his bow tie. How come every time he copied himself, it copied everything on him, on his person, except for the bow tie? It even copied the list in his pocket, but it didn't copy his bow tie.
That's fascinating. Maybe the list was, I guess, quote unquote, touching the flatbed through his shorts, and the bow tie is just on, he's copying himself back down, so the bow tie is on his front, so maybe it didn't register there? I don't know.
The rest of his front is there, except for the symbol on his hat. Like, his face is there. Why didn't it copy the bow tie, AJ?
I don't know, it's a supernatural copy machine.
That's the biggest mystery we've had. Forget who wrote the journals, what happened to the clones' bow ties? They deserve to be fancy little boys.
Maybe there was an option for Dipper to unselect the bow tie so that he could keep track of who was the real Dipper.
That's so convoluted. And we don't need that anyway because they all have the numbers written on their hats because it didn't copy the symbol for some reason, but it doesn't matter. It's for the audience. But why the bow tie?
I mean, maybe the actual answer is budget. They couldn't find it in the budget to draw a bow tie on every single Dipper clone.
With God as my witness, AJ, someday I will find out why those clones didn't get bow ties and I will remedy it. I will give them all little bow ties so they can all be fancy little lads.
You know what? If you're passionate about something, go for it.
I am passionate about this, AJ. Thank you for your support.
You go, Mary. Turn those Dipper clones into fancy little boys.
They deserve it. So Dipper prepares for his quote-unquote date with Wendy with some Axe body spray, as 12-year-old boys are wont to do.
Oh, boy. That takes me back to the wrongest era.
Did you use it?
No, of course not. I didn't know a damn thing about hygiene when I was 12 years old. Except for when my parents told me to shower, like every good parent should.
When I was a kid, I would only shower like maybe once a month. And when I hit like sixth grade, I started showering every day. I don't know what like compelled me to just start doing it, but I don't know. Maybe I just felt gross. Or maybe I just felt like I was supposed to. Yeah, girls didn't really use Axe body spray. We did Bath and Body Works.
Oh, nice. Funny thing, every Christmas, it's guaranteed we're going to take a trip to Bath and Body Works for, just for something.
Because it's just, like, the easiest thing. You know, everyone needs soap. Everyone likes smelling nice.
Everyone needs that peach-scented candle.
It's a candle. Peach candle.
Oh, I'm glad you got that. I hope Dipper Zack's body spray was hot chocolate scented, because that would be the primo choice.
That's how you attract teenage girls.
Exactly.
Smell like chocolate. Oh, God, now I really want some chocolate. I'll have some tomorrow. There's one girl, you first see her in line to get into the party. I swear she's dressed exactly like Isabella from Phineas and Ferb. She's got the, like, pink kind of pinafore. The only other thing I can think to call it is a jumper, because that was like my school uniform in elementary school. It was like a shirt and then a jumper, and she's got the pink bow.
I did not notice that. I did notice the two guys though that were like, we're too short, we're trapped. Are they am I crazy, or are they part of Wendy's gang from the conveniencing?
They are part of the Wendy gang. That's Lee and Nate. And they live at the Mystery Shack now because they couldn't leave because they only had $13.
I bet you Stan would have made him take out a loan on that extra two.
No, he just puts them to work until they earn that $2.
That's probably like a full day shift, don't you think?
Probably. I wrote Thompson's doing ... something because he was doing just a really weird dance in the background of one shot. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I remember just he was like doing something with his arm. I don't know. I just thought it was really weird when I looked.
Yeah.
AJ, I can't believe we haven't talked about this yet. We get three huge characters introduced in this episode. Let's talk about our girls.
Oh yeah, I like them. By the way, I just want to go on record and say I think Alex Hirsch voiced the big one.
Grenda?
Grenda.
He did not.
Damn it.
Oh, who voiced her? It was someone who worked on the show.
I could have sworn that sounded like him.
It kind of sounds like him. Also, there's I think it's Seuss. Like he says like this is the, and then he presses the key that makes the bomb sound. I think he like whispers to himself. He says like nailed it or something, and he sounds like that's just Alex Hirsch. That's not even the Seuss voice. It's just Alex Hirsch.
It's gonna be the. Nailed it.
Yeah, I'm glad he got a grip on his samples in the end.
Okay, I might need to... No, who voices her? Carl Faruolo. I don't know how to pronounce the last name. But he played Grenda. Nikki Yang played Candy. She's BMO on Adventure Time. She was Plum on Bravest Warriors.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
She was also...
I want to say real quick, that old guy doing the running man in one shot later on down the episode, is that her dad?
Whose dad?
Candy. The fork...
No.
Fork fingers girl.
Or at least, if he is, we don't... We're not privy to that knowledge. He's just also there.
Just another random party person.
Yeah. Just a Japanese businessman, because that's a trope for some reason.
Yeah. Gotta be out in the town every night singing karaoke with their coworkers.
I mean, yeah, karaoke is a Japanese invention, so.
By the way, can we talk about fact that they parodied ABBA last episode and then they went for Journey this episode?
Yes! They were doing Don't Stop Believin', and this was during Glee's, like, heyday. So everyone knew that song. Didn't matter how young you were, you knew that song.
Yeah. Can I just say it's a great song, but incredibly overplayed?
It is. All the same, it's a great power ballad. If someone asks me what a power ballad is, that's the first example I'm going for. Also, someday, I will reboot Glee.
Oh.
I'm gonna do it. It's gonna be awesome. Glee is historic. It is. It was a cultural moment. Wasn't always a good one, but it was a moment.
It was a moment in time that happened.
Season 4 was the worst. I will die on that hill.
I don't know what happened in season 4.
Bunch of bullshit, AJ.
I'll take your word for it. Basically, all I remember is from Glee is the Don't Stop Believin' performance from the first episode. If you told me Glee, I would point to that immediately and say, that's it. That's all of Glee. That's Glee in its entirety.
The arrangement they did in the first season finale is the best one, but they did that song like 5 times throughout the series.
It's like the theme song.
Pretty much. Just a small town girl. This has been the Into the Falls Glee Minute. So Pacifica, what do we think of Pacifica?
she's something, all right.
She's like the proto-Amity from the Owl House.
She's the kind of person who would buy her friends.
Oh, for sure. We literally see her doing that.
She literally did. She literally tipped off old man McGucket into giving her the victory.
He's clearly a pretty heavy sleeper, except when he smells money, because he was sleeping through that whole party. He didn't care.
What was he even doing there anyway?
I don't know. I think he just saw that there were people in there and he was curious. He wanted to see what was going on.
Doesn't he need to be building a new killer robot?
He doesn't need to be. He can cut loose once in a while.
I suppose. Maybe the overworking of his last job is how he actually started building that gobblewonker robot. That took me a little bit to get the name in my head, but there we go.
So Robbie apparently brought his bike inside the shack. He didn't, like, tie it up outside. He just brought it in.
I bet you Stan would have charged him for parking.
Oh, yeah.
That's why he brought it in.
But wouldn't he also charge him for bringing it inside? Wouldn't Stan find a way to charge him for just everything?
Stan would charge the bike as a separate person.
Oh, yeah, that's probably it.
Oh, yeah. Is it just me, or did Robbie have an acoustic guitar in The Inconveniencing? And this time
no,
he's...
I think...
Hmm?
No, I think it was always electric.
Okay. It must be some electric guitar because there is no amp connected to it that we can see. And yet somehow he's able to pull off this hella tone.
It's magic.
It's a magic guitar. Hey, NSYNC.
Come play with us.
We've yet to find out where he got it.
Yeah, we should find out where he got it.
NSYNC is my favorite boy band. Just kidding, it's All for One. Bye, 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 bye. Just kidding, I've only heard like 3 of their songs. It's the Beatles.
How appropriate, because it's time to bye-bye-bye to a break. So guess what, guys? For the first time on the pod, the fake sponsor sent me a care package with free stuff in it. I mean our totally legit sponsor. Whatever, you're gonna hear the disclaimer at the end of this. Anywho, before I unbox this, they gave me some copy to read. Copy that wasn't copied, because it's not alive. Or this reveals that possessed copiers can copy text normally without making it alive. Today's episode of Into the Falls is proudly sponsored by the Gravity Falls Gossiper best-selling book, How to DJ It Right, by DJ Scratch Tracks. If you've ever wanted to spin records, be the life of the party, or just impress your friends, this is the book for you. DJ Scratch Tracks has 10 years in the biz, and he tells all the insider secrets you've ever wanted to know about DJing, so you too can join the pack and rise the ranks to the ultimate goal, a music festival. He even sets you up with a top-of-the-line sampler, preloaded with all his favorite samples with the purchase of every copy. Talking of, that's exactly what I got in this care package. And I mean, this thing is the real deal. The pads are so nice to press. The only thing I haven't tested is the samples, so you and I are gonna experience them for the first time live on the air. So, let's start with this one. Okay, a classic. And this one? I can get down with that. How about this?
My wife left me.
Wait, what?
My wife left me.
Moving on. And over here?
Stop it. Get some help.
So, he's a meme lord. Alright, I think I got time for one more. Right. Should have expected that one. Sadly, I gotta wrap up here. You can be sure I'll bust these out on the pod when you least expect them. And for more tips and tricks on not being wiggity-whack on the decks, pick up How to DJ It Right now, only at howtodjrightwith2extrars.com. Use code INTOTHEFALLS at checkout to get the free companion How to Tell Your Mom You're Gonna DJ for a Living. That's howtodjrightwith2extrars.com, and remember, we're not responsible for you falling for this dumb parody ad. Now let's start the second half off with a... Nailed it.
Remember the song Red Solo Cup?
Yes, unfortunately.
Pacifica somehow, when she's singing karaoke, she hits that last note and it shatters some guy's solo cup.
I remember that.
With no glass to be seen.
And that note wasn't even that high either. So either...
Yeah, it wasn't.
Either that's a really powerful voice or that's a really weak solo cup.
I think it was just like an anomaly of nature, like so many things in Gravity Falls.
Yeah.
Exploding cup. It's like the video of that old lady trying to get onto a bus, and she's banging on the door and trying to sing so high that she breaks the glass.
Oh my god, I've actually seen that.
Yeah, well, it's in like every Vine compilation anyone has ever made.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So the clones, like, they really hit it on the head that Dipper is getting in his own way, not just literally, but like, when he's trying to convince them not to fight, he says, like, we're all equally matched, so it would go on for infinity. And they're like, oh, yeah. And then he just hits one of them anyway. So, like, it doesn't matter if he even knows what the right thing is. Like, he's still going to do the wrong thing. Because that's just how he is.
I thought he was going to punch one of them and then just run and then just dip, if you will. But yeah, he just stood there. Dude, that was the perfect opportunity to get away and get to Wendy, but no, you had to stay there and fight.
Maybe he was just shocked that he actually did it. It's like, oh my god, I actually threw a punch.
For a guy who's so adamant on keeping to his plan, he certainly does get in the way of it a lot.
Literally!
Whoa.
I always think of the moment where he and Tyrone just like, they kind of like lean both into frame, and they're like, I think about it every day of my life.
Their whole dynamic throughout this episode was pretty cute. It's like if Dipper had his own little brother, except it was himself.
It was little Dipper. We love Tyrone. We miss him. Rest in peace. I like that when most of the clones get watered out and they're like melting, they're because their reaction is just so nonchalant, they're just like, boo. Like, that makes it less horrifying. Until we get to Paper Jam Dipper and he says it's better this way.
Yeah, it makes it kind of heavy that he always knew he was an atrocity.
Poor guy. I think he could have lived a fulfilling life in the right circumstances.
He could have been recycled.
We don't need to euthanize him. He's a person. He has an inner life.
He speaks, even though it's just, yeah.
He is who he is. And he doesn't deserve to die for that. But it already happened. There's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah. And you know, I'm glad Dipper was able to give himself a good pep talk in the end, even if it was Tyrone that delivered it to him. And in Tyrone's final moments, it was just a good moment of hard truth for Dipper to hear. Don't be such a wimp around Wendy.
For my sake. That's my Tyrone impression. Pour one out for Tyrone, like Dipper did.
Yeah, he was a real one.
He's the only one who understood.
He was number two.
That's a nice looking scene with them just looking up at the stars and talking about life, talking about their frustrations being dippers. What do you think happened to the clones who took Robbie's bike? Because we didn't see them come back.
They caught the bike on a loose rock and then were flung into the river in the woods.
And died.
And then all you see down at the bottom of the lake is those helmets. But I'm sure Robbie's just like, how'd my helmets get over here?
Why did I bring two of them?
He probably gave one of the gang members a ride. It's good that he's safety-minded and thought to bring a helmet for the other person.
That's nice of him.
Yeah.
Okay, I know I said Dipper with the bow tie was like the cutest thing I've ever seen. I was wrong. The cutest thing in this episode, at least, is when they're doing the applause to determine who wins the party crown, and when it's Mabel's turn, Stan comes back in from counting his money just to clap for her.
That's a supportive grunkle.
It's so sweet. It's so cute.
We stan the grunkle who's there for his nephews.
His nibblings?
His nibblings.
Because I don't know if you caught this, Mabel is a girl.
I mean, of course I knew that.
So she's not a nephew, by definition. By nephew-nition.
I'm usually that guy, so it's interesting to see the flip side of it.
The last time I was in, like, a contest like that, it wasn't, like, a contest being decided by audience applause. It was, senior year of college. We were having, like, basically a noise-making contest between all the classes. So when it was the seniors' turn, and the seniors win, like, every year, I was sitting down, and I had my phone, and I had a battery pack, and it was plugged in, and I stood up, my phone fell with the cord, and I just started screaming and jumping up and down, but I had forgotten to take a breath first, so I very nearly fainted on top of the freshman in front of me. Like, my head went very light, and I started to, like, collapse, and she caught me at, like, the last second.
Oh, boy.
And I was like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry I almost fell on you. She's like, it's okay. I would have caught you.
That's a testament to your passion. Anything to win the contest.
Yeah, even death. Even brain damage.
Even tipping off old man McGucket.
You know, she's got money to spare.
Yeah, and I just find it funny that... Wait, was she going to charge for the after party on her boat? I don't remember.
I don't think so. I think it was just the appeal is that her parents are rich.
Yeah.
So she can do that. So Pacifica is voiced by Jackie Buscarino, who I just found out was born on September 11th, 1977.
That's funny.
She does a great job. She it says she's a voice actress, writer, and producer. She plays Vidalia on Steven Universe.
Well, she certainly plays the detestable popular girl trope kind of really well.
Thank you, Jorge. Thank you, everyone. Everyone come to the after party at my parents' boat. Woohoo!
I love the way she says thank you, Jorge. It's so funny to me.
Who's she referring to as Jorge?
Seuss. She's just so confident that his name is Jorge.
Okay, Seuss's name is like here, and her guess is like 100 miles away. Like...
Thank you, Jorge.
Thank you, Jorge.
Maybe she saw the DJ book and she assumed that DJ stood for dude, Jorge. Like, he was a dude named Jorge because he always says dude.
Dude, I'm Jorge.
Dude, my name's Jorge, dude.
It would have been funny if, like, in that sort of quick-witted Gravity Falls style, she was like, thank you, Jorge. And then immediately he's like, that's not my name.
Well, that's not... We don't really need him to acknowledge it. It can just be the joke that she got his name wrong.
I know, but sometimes those really quick sound gags just really, really trigger my funny bone.
If it was like a really quick thing off screen, like the camera didn't move, you just hear him
exactly.
Say it. That would be kind of funny. But I think the joke works without it. I think there are a lot of jokes that like go overboard with someone like explaining like, no, that's not right. When like you don't need that because the audience already knows that it's not right. And it's just funny to hear them say something wrong. But sometimes it works.
Oh, nah. That's not my name.
That's not my name. That's not my name. That's not my name. I don't do a good Seuss impression. I'm sorry. But I do a great Jorge impression.
By the way, that name, Pacifica Northwest.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Just chef's kiss.
She can never leave that region now.
Exactly.
She's stuck there. She's stuck there forever.
But you know what? She probably wouldn't have made it out of there anyway, so it's probably best that she stays where she is. It's best that she stays a hometown legend.
With Jorge.
With Jorge.
This is where Jorge lives, and I like Jorge. So I'm staying here with Jorge.
It's not just because my parents told me to get a job and I don't want to.
Unless I'm working with Jorge, because he's very fun to be around.
I bet she'd put up with Stan's low pay just for Jorge.
Just to hang out with Jorge. He's so amiable.
Everybody loves Jorge. Jorge is everybody's friend.
Oh my God, I almost forgot. Because this is the episode where we learn that Dipper is a nickname, which until I saw this for the first time, I thought it was just his real name.
Oh yeah, I wanted to talk about this.
I thought he just had a weird name until that episode came out, and I was like, oh, that makes more sense. Okay.
Yeah, that's...
Let's talk about his birthmark.
That's a hell of a birthmark, ain't it? How would that happen?
Magic. I don't know. I was born in Texas, and there's a birthmark on my foot that's like a freckle that's like vaguely shaped like Texas. And when I was a kid, I was like, look, it's Texas.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I showed it to my sister once, and she's like, that's not a birthmark. That's a piece of chocolate ice cream that dried up. And I'm like, what? No, that's always been there. And she's like, no, it's from when we went to Disney World and like part of your Mickey bar melted on your foot. And I'm like, no, it would have washed off by now. And she's like, no, because it dried. We were very young when this conversation happened. This wasn't like 2 years ago. She was probably like 3 or 4 when we had that conversation. So I would have been 5 or 6.
Yeah, way to ruin the magic.
Yeah. She's like, no, that's dried ice cream. That's just been there for 2 years.
4-year-old kids do that and think they're the edgiest people ever.
No, I think she legitimately thought she was right.
You know what? That's even cuter.
I remember also like having a way too heated argument with her. Like not that heated, but we were like getting ready for her 4th birthday party. It was a strawberry shortcake theme. And we were just like sitting on the basement stairs. And she said something about how like she was only going to be 4 on her birthday. And then after that, she would be 3 again. And I was just like trying to convince her like, no, you're 4 for the next year. That's how birthdays work. And she was like, no, I'm only 4 on my birthday. She's 21 now, so I think she's grasped the concept.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
Is it ever canonically revealed what Dipper's real name is?
I don't know, AJ. What do you think it is?
He looks like an Ethan.
I can see Ethan. But AJ, speaking of people whose real names we don't know, we did our test episode in January. We launched in June. I still don't know what AJ stands for, so I'm gonna guess.
Okay. We're doing this.
This is the Into the Falls Mystery Minute, where Mary tries to guess what AJ's initials stand for. Alexander John. Alejandro James. J stands for Jorge.
Should have seen that coming.
I didn't think of it until right that second.
That's correct.
Wait, seriously?
No, it's not. But wouldn't it be wild if it was?
Okay. I really couldn't tell. Okay, Alejandro Juan.
Oh boy. You want me to just tell you?
No, I want to guess. Alejandro Jameson, Jamethy. Alejandro Jonathan, Alejandro Johnson, Alejandro Jackson.
Nope.
I'm just going to pull up like a baby name list and go to the letter J, because I'm having trouble thinking of names that start with J.
You know, I don't think you're going to get this. So my first name starts with an S.
What? This changes everything. Your name isn't even AJ? I mean, it is because that's what you go by, but like, what? Okay. Now I have to guess the S. Steven.
Nope.
Stefan.
No.
What?
Solomon, Sebastian, Santiago.
And you can probably guess how this turns out. Mary went through that entire list of baby names that start with S, some of which had some of the weirdest, most bullshit names I've ever heard, like
Stetson.
And
7.
And don't forget this little number.
Slade, that's the villain from Teen Titans. That's not a name.
If this ain't the most bullshit list I've ever seen in my life.
The word scoop is here.
Like, really, honestly, who comes up with this stuff?
This isn't even going into the pod.
Well, I really want to guess. Okay, some of it better go in. The part, just the game itself had better go in, but not like all of my guesses.
Well, if you want to know if Mary got my name right, she did. And if you want to know what it is, you'll have to hold me at gunpoint. Now let's finish the show.
And just like a good mystery on Gravity Falls, it all comes back. It all links together.
Okay, so anything else you want to say about the episode?
Yes, codes. I'm going to just say, I said post-credit scene, but I guess it's during credit scene, Seuss was looking through all his samples. I was just waiting and waiting for him to bust out a Goofy holler.
Oh my god.
Like, it's Disney. Why would you not? That's like the perfect sample.
It's not that kind of show. So it's the Atbash cipher this time around, and it translates to Paper Jam Dipper says, it's just a bunch of letters. It's a bunch of gibberish.
Paper Jam Dipper invented the key smash.
All right. So I'm going to have to remind myself to do the codes for the thumbnail in Atbash this time. The next episode is Irrational Treasure. Yeah, little Nick Cage send up. And guys, this will be the first full-on crossover between Into the Falls and Mystery Shack Look Back, with Charlie Marlowe and Ella Chesery.
Exciting!
So at this point in time, that is the plan, is we're going to have them as the guests for that episode, and you can listen to their podcast at pipedreampodcast.com or anywhere else you get your podcasts, just like you can listen to our podcast anywhere you get your podcasts, except for Pipe Dream Podcast. We're not part of a network, but we're here. We're in your ear holes, and this is where we're going to stay.
Yep. We're just infecting and infecting, and by the time we set in, it's going to be too late, and you're going to be a Gravity Falls stan along with us.
Don't worry, you'll learn to love us.
Absolutely. We have cake.
We have so much cake.
We have free soda and snacks, and all you gotta do is mind the $15 exit fee.
Guys, it is a full buffet here at Into the Falls, and we're just having a jolly good time, so come join us, won't you? Person listening to the end of, like, the seventh episode, let's advertise our podcast to you, the person already listening. Actually, this, the podcast is getting my cousin to finally watch Gravity Falls. Her fiancé's been trying to get her to watch it for a while, and she's finally doing it, I think.
We're the evangelists of the new religion, Gravity Fallsism.
I'm going to knock on people's doors with journal number 3 and say, hello, have you heard the good news?
I just picture us walking up like that. You're dressed in the oversized sweaters and I've got the short shorts and the cap on.
No, we're Mormons.
Oh, we're just going to dress like Mormons?
Yeah.
We're not going to lean into the cosplay?
No, we're just Mormons. We're Mormons, but for Gravity Falls. Are you booing all Mormons? What if we have Mormon listeners, AJ? AJ hates Mormons. This has been Into the Falls. You can find me at Mabel Page Pines on Twitter and Instagram. That's Mabel, P-A-G-E Pines. I'm also May Page on YouTube and Film Knife on Medium and WordPress. That's where I post my film reviews and essays, editorials, etc. You can follow the show on Twitter at The Falls Cast, all one word, and Into the Falls Podcast on YouTube. And I will hand it off to AJ.
Well, you'll be happy to know I've made it a little easier nowadays to find me on socials. So if you want, hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, or Tumblr at UncaAJ. That's UncaAJ. This podcast is hosted and produced by Mary McKeon and AJ Sanchez, and our theme song and some of the music is by Kevin MacLeod. Thanks so much for listening, and until next time, trust no one! You gotta give Gipper.
Gipper?